Love is what life is all about. There are different modes of love, but all of them represent the desperate, desperate longing of the human personality for someone who will fill the great aching void in our hearts. From the very first crush of the sixth grader to the old couple walking hand in hand down their sunset years, love goes on taking many, many forms. Some are shallow and transient. Others are deep, lasting. Some are generous and open-hearted. Some are self-destructive. Some are self-enriching. And the definitions of love are as fascinating as they are impossible. We try to describe it. We try to explain it, but it simply keeps slipping through our fingers. In the final analysis, love is not so much the desire to possess someone else as to be possessed by the other. Or one might better say, love is not so much a situation in which someone else exists for us as it is a situation in which we exist for the other person. And there's a paradox here. If each of us would learn how to exist authentically for someone else, we do not thereby become less ourselves, but rather we become more fully ourselves. That's the paradox. That the person who gives herself, himself in love to another does not give himself away, but rather gains that which is the very best in herself or himself. But then, what does it mean that God is love? We have all heard that proposition as long as we can remember. It is attractive, it is consoling, it is beautiful. But should we take it seriously? Is it not rather the case where we take a powerful human emotion that identify it with God and in the process deprive it of all the meaning it has when we apply it back again to our own human behavior? Yes, God is love, but for God, love is so orderly, so neat, so tidy, so refined, so well-disciplined, so intellectualized. It's not the kind of wild, powerful, overwhelming passion that it is for us human beings, is it? And the answer is no, it is not. The trouble is, we have put the question the wrong way when we ask how God's love is different from ours. We should ask how our love is different from God's. And then we discover that the answer is startling. The answer indeed becomes startling. For the basic difference between our love and God's love is that our love Our love is much less wild, much less dynamic, and ever so much less creative. It was the wild, flaming passion of God, of God's love that produced the universe, all 8 or 10 billion light years of it. And that includes the flaming sun, and the swirling galaxies, the incredible amount of energy in the planets. That is what God's love has produced. And can we say then that God's love is not passionate? Compared to the passion of God, our emotion that we call love could only be compared to the amoeba. We can say that the most powerful, the most compelling, the most dramatic of all human loves that we could ever experience, those loves are becoming only a pale reflection, just a dim, blurred image of the dimensions of what God's passion is like. God's passion, God's love, God's power is not less than human love, but it is more, ever, ever so much more. And as any of us grow older, our understanding of love, our love and God's love, also grows. It's as it is with a child. For a child, all of the parents' prohibitions and punishments never ever seem loving at all. But they become recognized as love as that child begins to grow up and the child's horizons begin to expand. And the child begins to understand that even the prohibitions in childhood were the signs of the parents' love. But then we ask, is it possible that there could be such a horizon somewhere that is so vast, so divinely encompassing, so as to include not only the spring mornings and the laughter of children, but also the terror of starvation and earthquake and war? Could all of that be included within some transcendent design of love so that someday, before or at our death, we too could understand that the horizons of God include everything under the sign of passionate love? Because that is exactly what St. John told us this afternoon, that love that is authentic from God is never to be limited only to that which we find comfortable. St. John's statement today that God's love, that God is love, when he said God is love, that statement is incomplete without the rest of the sentence with which he completed it, with the words, God is love and he has sent his Son to share our condition, to be one of us, to know as well as we do the meaning of seemingly pointless suffering. If only we could begin to understand that our living God is identified with us, in process with us, that our God does not sit aloof somewhere in a heavenly court, commanding us to accept evils that leave him untouched. If only we could understand that our God identifies with us, that if we suffer, so does he. If we are to bear evil patiently in our lives and forgive other people, so must we. And if we must face death, he faces it as well. That is the incarnation. God made flesh, Emmanuel, God with us all of the time. God is within us. We are in process. God identifies with all that goes on within our hearts. And what we have then is a love that is beyond all comprehension for our own poor little human hearts to comprehend. We cannot offer explanations. All we can do is accept a presence in our midst. The mysterious presence of a living God, passionately in love with us. That God is love, and the church, St. John tells us, is held together with that love. And then he says the church is love, as a community of people filled with God. The trouble is, it doesn't look that way much of the time, does it? If the church is not the community of love which John foresaw, it is because we people who are the church are not vigorous enough. We simply are not generous enough. We are not passionate enough lovers. We are afraid because we spend the years of our lives counting the cost, learning how to play it cool. We hold our cards close to our heart. We hedge our bets when we gamble. We restrain our generosity. We learn how to check our impulses. And above all, we repress our emotions. We wear our masks very well. We listen to Scripture and say it's all right for our God to be passionate. Passionate enough to have created the swirling galaxies and to give us the unrestrained energy of the sun. But then we say, after all, he's God. And he cannot get hurt. He cannot become hurt if he gives himself to us. If he gives himself to us in that kind of love. Because we ask then, if we are that generous, and if we would just begin to imitate the passionate generosity of our living God, we know, don't we? We will get hurt, won't we? We know we will get hurt. And that's the reason why we always make God's love so neat and disciplined and intellectualized and tidy. Because that sort of God is easy to deal with. Who among us would dare admit that we would allow ourselves to be pursued by a God who is more wildly in love with us than we could ever be with him or with one another. And yet the older we grow, the more we discover that each of us knows what it does mean to be pursued by such a living God. That is why each of us is able to say through our lives, I fled him down the nights and down the days. I fled him down the arches of the years. And I fled him down the labyrinthian ways of my own mind, and in the midst of tears, above all, in the midst of tears, I hid from him. I hid from him.